Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I love your show. It's not only entertaining, but a public service.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us right now is WDUN's own Martha Zoller, fantastically prominent, famous Georgia talk radio host who joins us often to discuss north and south of the Mason-Dixon line, how we see the same headlines in this great United States of America. Martha, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
It's great to be with you, Lisa.
So, Martha, tell us a little bit. I'm sure you've done a deep dive. What Mitch McConnell is sitting at $600 billion, and Joe Biden wants, I don't know, $2, $3, $4 trillion plus. I can't keep track anymore. But the Biden agenda is one that will fully fund community colleges, make them free. It will fund preschool for the first time, make them free. It will give subsidies to poor parents of young children, estimated to live 5 million kids out of poverty, in addition to funding $80 billion with the IRS, which is a 70% increase year over year. And it just has a laundry list of and beefing up environmental protections. It has a laundry list of things that are within the Democratic agenda. Talk to me about how you see that spending bill and how you see the chances of passing it, given Mitch McConnell's insistence that the Republicans only want to go for $600 billion.
Well, I mean, first of all, I love your use of the term laundry list, because that's what it is. I mean, this is a race to 2022 because, you know, statistically, the party in power loses seats at the midterm election. And so they know they're very close. They're at 50-50 in the Senate, and they're very close to 50-50 percentage-wise in the House. And so they know that they've got a short amount of time to try to get this stuff done. I like the fact that Republicans have actually presented an alternative instead of just saying, no, we don't want that one. But also, you know, and this is me crazy thinking logically. Okay, we've passed five COVID bills since COVID started last March. There's still $2 trillion that's unspent from these COVID appropriations. And as most states are kind of getting out of the crisis, this money may never be spent. One of the things Republicans are asking is to kind of repurpose some of this money, because what worries me is when you have pots of money sitting around, people figure out a way to spend them, and then it's not really spent on the things they're supposed to be spent for. So I think there could be a negotiation that could happen. But the problem for Joe Biden is not the Republicans. The problem for Joe Biden is Joe Manchin, Senator Kelly, and Senator Sinema of Arizona. Because they are the three Democrat senators that are saying they don't like this bill. They think it's too much spending, and they've got to find a compromise. So the people that the president really should be worrying about are the three senators in his own party that don't want to vote for this stuff either.
So basically what you're saying is you think that because of their unwillingness to come on board, the Democrat version of the spending, the administration's bill, is already going to be significantly watered down.
I think it will, because I don't think you can do all of these things at one time. For example, mm-hmm. in Georgia, we already have paid for technical college that's paid for through the state lottery. We already have paid for pre-K. So, you know, it's one of those things where there probably are other places where it's out there. And I personally think I like the idea of paid for technical college. I think, but you can't forget who's paying for it, right? It is the state taxpayer that's paying for it. But I love the idea.
But it's an investment. But it's an investment. Instead of just calling it paying, it is an investment.
If we're going to say, I have said for years that if we're going to say education is important, then if we're loaning money to students, we shouldn't be charging them interest. It should be, I do think people should have to pay back what they borrow, okay, because I think it's a bad precedent to set for people like me, who we saved our whole lives so that our kids didn't have to have student loans, that other people come along and they're going to get their loans forgiven. That's in there, too. But I do think that the real, you know, travesty is they're charging these kids 6.75% interest on these loans.
It's an obscenity. It's an obscenity.
It is an obscenity. No doubt about it. I mean, if banks are loaning money to each other for what, 1%,
Oh, it's disgusting. Oh, it's so it's revolting. And we allowed student loans to be co-opted by the private lending industry when there was so clearly a public interest behind keeping the rates next to nothing.
I completely. And that is something, you know what it is, Lisa? That is something that I think if we could get the noise out of the room, people could agree on. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you've
absolutely.
Been touched by this travesty. And I want to say I'm encouraged because I do see some movement where the president is actually sitting down and going to talk to some of these folks. I know he did it before with the COVID bill and nothing happened, but I think that it is in Joe Biden's DNA to work with
Me
the
too.
Other side and try
Me
to get
too.
The best
Me
deal.
Too.
It is
Me
the,
too.
It is
yes.
the far left of his party that is over there saying, if you work with these people, we're going to turn on you. Okay. But I really think it's in his DNA to try to work with Republicans, even though he hasn't shown that very much up until now.
But he can't, you know, listen, I think you're right. I think he understands about leading from, you know, you lead with the most, then you walk back some and you announce a deal. I think he lives and breathes it since he's 29 years old. He knows
That's
how to
right.
do this.
That's right.
He knows
you
how
know,
to Zell do
Miller,
this.
Zell Miller, the governor of Georgia, who brought the Hope Scholarship to Georgia, as well as was a United States senator, said, you know, a half a loaf is better than no loaf.
that's right. That's, what did you, by you the know, way, gotta, did you read, we're chatting with Martha Zoller of Georgia, did you read about, I mean, I just thought it was utterly charming and riveting about the visit that Joe Biden made to Plains, Georgia, to visit Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter?
Yeah, sure. It's one of the few people in politics that's actually older than he is. So I'm sure he had a great time.
Well, I just thought yeah. it was just, I mean, you talk about a full circle. I mean, you know, Joe Biden was a pariah in his own party for years, well before he became vice president. And then, you know, he was VP, okay, but he only got 1% in Iowa. He was a perennial runner. And Jimmy right. Carter has been a pariah within the Democrat Party ever since Bill Clinton got elected because he was like, you know, I need to move away from him. And I was reading the history between Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. You know, they hate each other. Jimmy Carter right. announced that he right. didn't vote for Hillary Clinton for president or whatever. And I don't mean in the against Trump. I mean before that in the primary against Barack Obama. And Jimmy Carter felt that Bill Clinton was a real sleaze. And he pretty much said so. He pretty much said so.
Well, and Jimmy Carter has been a pragmatist in the political world. In 1970, when he ran for governor, he ran as a segregationist, even though he really didn't believe it. No one thinks he believed it, but he ran as a segregationist because he needed Lester Maddox's support in order to win. And then he changed a lot of things after that. And then, of course, when he ran for president, he was in that unique time where because of what we've been through with Watergate, I think who, you know, they really wanted an outsider, and a one-term Georgia governor was a really outsider. And then he went through a really difficult 4 years. I mean, he
yes.
couldn't have had more bad things happen in 4 years than that president. And then he was challenged by Ted Kennedy in 1980, where Kennedy couldn't even give a straight answer as to why he wanted to run
why
for president.
Why he wanted president. To be president,
I, mean,
it was just I
remember. Crazy.
So, I know.
And then Jimmy Carter worked his way back into people's good graces and really kind of outlived all his critics. And so
I think that's right, Martha. I think he outlived a lot of his critics. You know, when you live to be that old, people start to come pay homage to you and pilgrimage to you. But I just... Look, I have my differences with Jimmy Carter. For many years, I thought that he was not terribly friendly towards Israel for a long time. But yeah. I will tell you, as a human being, as your general Sunday school teacher, you know, he's lived an honorable life based on spiritual principles. They cannot
really
be denied.
Has. He's been a good man. There was no catting around. There was none of that kind of stuff. He and Rosalynn send really, I believe, have a great relationship. Jason Carter, his grandson, ran for governor and did not win the nomination. He ran against Stacey Abrams. And I'm sorry, he ran for governor the time before Stacey Abrams. Sorry about that. But he is a very nice young man. I mean, and he is one of those people that can work with Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not what people like in politics right now. But I have faith that that's coming back around. you know, that that person that can build bridges rather than go to your corner has got to be the guy that ultimately wins. And the people like AOC and Marjorie Taylor Greene and are the people that are getting the money right now. But I really believe it's going to be the people like Liz Cheney and the people like Jason Carter and other people that are going to win in the long run. I have to believe that, Lisa.
Well, that's what I mean. That was the sales pitch for Joe Biden. And that's what we're going to see when he reconciles all of these wants with the pragmatism of getting something passed. But since you brought the name up, we're chatting with Martha Zoller. Liz Cheney, at the top of the hour, the national news announced that Kevin McCarthy was really going after her. And now he's doing it sideways. Now he's saying it's not about her support of Donald Trump. It's about whether she can do the job. But The wagons are circling around Liz Cheney. From your point of view, as someone who's been a loyal Republican throughout all of this, what do you think it means for the National Republican Party that they're going after Liz Cheney?
I don't support it. I think that Kevin McCarthy is caving to pressure from the right side of his party. And really, whether it's John Boehner or it's Kevin McCarthy or it's Paul Ryan, that very conservative group of the caucus is not the majority of the group. It is, you know, the people like Liz Cheney are more, you know, there are more. Maybe there aren't as many as there used to be. And look, I don't agree with Liz Cheney about everything, but I believe we should be a big tent party. You know, we should be a party that has room for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Liz Cheney. You know, there should be a party that's in there because especially Republican women, you know, since the November election, we won the recount in Iowa, a Republican woman did. Julia Letlow in Louisiana, a Republican woman won that seat. And now it looks like a Republican woman is going to win the special election in Texas. So we've got a real opportunity to move the ball forward for Republican women, which is a passion of mine. And we got to stop going after each other. And I'm disappointed in Kevin McCarthy because he was standing up to the pressure, and now it looks like he's caving to it.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean, now he's coming at her broadside. Instead of being honest that it really is a fight over allegiance to Donald Trump, now he's saying she can't do the job. Give me a break. She could do the job if he had her, if he gave her support, she could do the job.
Well, and I mean, the people of Wyoming are going to decide whether they reelect her, and I doubt anybody's going to beat her in a Republican primary in Wyoming. So she's going to be elected. Wyoming is the reddest of red states. Same thing with Utah. You may not like Mitt Romney. You may not agree with him, but he is not going to lose in Utah. He may get, spanked like he and Orrin Hatch did by their caucus. But when it comes right down to it, he'll win the nomination and he'll win again.
Thank you, Martha Zoller. I love all of your insight and all of your knowledge, and I can't wait for you to be back on the show.
Thank you. We'll talk again soon.
You bet. Martha Zoller, WDUN, on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.